Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Good news from KER. This is the Al Corlin, Dr. Charles Page segment, talking with Chuck about his experiences. You have done a fair amount of work that I'd like our listeners to be aware of, Chuck, dealing with people living in Africa. Primarily, I would probably have to say some of the indigenous people living over there who you have worked with. Regardless of what people think about the medical system in the United States, you know, you can knock it all you want, but the fact of the matter is they have no system over there. And if people like you didn't go over on a volunteer basis, a lot of lives would be lost. Let's talk about some of your experiences.
Well, so I started going to Africa doing mission work, and I just work in several different hospitals, kind of helping them train surgeons in Africa. You know, that's one of the biggest deficits in, you know, the African continent is actually surgeons. You can imagine, I mean, they speak so many different languages that, you know, the training surgeons is really kind of difficult. I mean, so anyway, but one of the reasons I keep going back is it's always an attitude adjustment for me. And I was over there in February, right before they really stopped all of the, you know, the plane trips. I almost didn't get out of the country.
Yeah.
But I was in Niger, which is in Africa, and it's really sad. You know, I mean, you know, we think about the things that we worry about here, about not having ventilators if we get COVID, or not having, you know, all of these, you know, remdesivir and all these things. I mean, they have none of those resources there. In fact, you know, in Africa, people are dying of diseases that we haven't seen here in 50 to 100 years, like, for example, typhoid fever. And in particular, this one place in Africa, typhoid is just, you know, it's almost a pandemic. I mean, you know, probably saw 10 to 15 children die of typhoid, and it gets in their intestines, and their intestines rupture, and then these kids get really sick. You know, and they've also got chronic malaria. They're also malnourished. And so it's a real challenge. It really changes your attitude. You know, the things that I often kind of bellyache about here. I go over there. It seems like when I come back, I don't have those complaints anymore. You know, because I realize how good we have it over here, and I think sometimes we forget that. You know, as we're kind of going through things, especially all the things that we're hearing in the media, all the negative things, and you know, the lack of, you know, PPEs, you know, personal protective equipment, and all these things, but. You know, over there, they don't have any personal protective equipment. You know, so often we're taking drains out of one patient and throwing them in some alcohol and using it on the next patient. And so it really helps us realize, you know, in the United States and in Western countries, just how blessed we are.
You know, I'd like to dwell on that just for a little bit. We do have a bit of time left here, no question, but I'd like to dwell on that a little bit. One of the facets of human nature, I guess I should say characteristics of human nature is, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the street. People who oftentimes live in almost a perfect world in America are still depressed. But I think when you stop and realize how good we have it over here, then a lot of the daily BS that we're dealing with just kind of goes out the window, in my opinion, Chuck.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I kind of learn that every day. You know, like even today in the clinic, I had a young girl who I had seen in the hospital. She had had COVID. She has a lot of medical problems. And she actually works as an EMT, and she works in a nursing home. And we had an outbreak here in a nursing home, and probably 10 people died. You can imagine the stress of just watching those folks die. And I'll tell you, you know, COVID is not a respecter of persons, and, you know, it is real. I don't think it's as bad as the media is projecting it to be. But just thinking about the stress that she went through being in a situation where she's not in control. And I think for Westerners, you know, people living in industrialized countries, you know, for people living in industrialized countries, you know, we've never been in a situation where we can't fix it. And I think that's one of the hardest things about COVID even is that we, you know, it's one of those things that we're not in control. You know, and humanly speaking, we've realized that here in the United States. I mean, in the United States, we're not used to having these diseases that we can't fix.
You know, I want you to elaborate on one thing, if you would, Chuck, and that is the lack of control on the part of medical society in controlling COVID. Explain that, would you? How big a problem is it?
Well, I mean, we can't stop a virus. I mean, you know, and all the measures that we've taken, some of them are common sense, some of them are backed by science, and some of them are not backed by really good science and really good studies. You know, we're trying to do the best that we can do, you know, from a public health standpoint. But really, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, just like we can't stop the flu, you know, we can't stop, the COVID virus. We can, you know, when people get the virus, we can, you know, prevent, you know, people from getting really sick. And, man, what a blessing to be here in the United States and have, you know, the remdesivir, and that's what, you know, Trump got. And then also to have, you know, the plasma when you get really sick. And this girl that I talked to today, I mean, she really got sick and had to have plasma transfusions and probably would not be here today if it weren't for the plasma. So, you know, it's just one of those things. We still, for many viral infections, we don't have any kind of cure. I mean, think about HIV. We still don't have a vaccine for HIV. We don't have a vaccine for, like, hepatitis A, or hepatitis C. Fortunately, we have a vaccine for hepatitis B, but, you know, hepatitis C, of course, we now have treatment. We have antiviral treatments that we can give. But I just think often, you know, we always tend to focus on the negative things. I know I do a lot, Al. I just, you know, I tend to focus on the things that I don't have. And, you know, so often getting in situations realizing, you know, that it could always be worse. I think it always changes our perspective. And that's why I go over to Africa. One of the reasons, I mean, I feel like so often I get so much more than I give when I go over there.
I don't find that hard to believe at all. I really don't. You know, I want to ask you one question, and that is a lot of depression going on in the United States, as we mentioned last time we did an editorial, a lot of anxiety going on in the U.S. In terms of dealing with that, what are you telling your patients, Chuck?
One of the main things is to control the amount of media that you get, because it just causes more confusion. I believe it causes more anxiety. It's kind of adding fuel to the fire. Get plenty of rest. You know, I'll tell you one thing that's really been helpful for me, and one of the reasons why I started writing is because it really helped me to process the events that were going on in my life, you know, and try to make some sense out of it emotionally and spiritually. But, you know, there's a growing body of literature that talks about the benefit of journaling.
Yeah.
Decreases our blood pressure, decreases our stress. There's studies that show it increases wound healing, you know, all kinds of things. And so I would also encourage people to stop every day and stop and kind of have a kind of a devotional time or a time where you sit down and you just kind of write down your thoughts and your feelings of the day. And I think that really helps.
You know, I want to focus on that, Chuck, if you don't mind. We're going to take a real quick commercial break here shortly, but I would like you to prepare yourself for the following task, if you choose to accept it. And that is, I have heard a lot about journaling. I don't know a lot about it. I have a number of friends, as you know, by looking at the guest list on our, on our platform. I have a lot of friends who are clinical psychologists, psychiatrists, etc., etc. They have talked a lot about journaling, but nobody has really ever explained what journaling is all about. You got a couple minutes to talk about that?
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be right back after the commercial break, talking with Dr. Charles Page about the benefits of journaling.